We really need new phones.
T-Mobile will cover the cost of four amazing new iPhone 15s, and each line is only $25 a month.
New iPhone 15s? It's better
over here. Only at T-Mobile, get four iPhone 15s on us and four lines for $25 per line per month with eligible trade-in when you switch.
Minimum of 4 lines for $25 per line per month with auto pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto pay, plus taxes and fees. Phone fee at 24 monthly bill credits for well qualified customers. Contact us before canceling account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. $35 per line connection charge applies. See T-Mobile.com.
Want to put your baseball skills to the test? Then get ready to show your stuff with MLB Pitch, Hit, and Run. The official youth skills competition of Major League Baseball. Sign up for free for a chance to play your way to the Pitch, Hit, and Run finals at the 2024 World Series. Visit pitchhitrun.com today.
All right, we're coming up on 7:25. We got some great stuff right up ahead. I'm going to do something in the next segment, Al, that I've never done in the almost 31-year history of the show.
Oh, cool.
I'm going to play a segment of a different show on WIP.
Ah.
Segment I listened to driving in today. Was overnight, John Johnson, who is our Phillies reporter. In fact, he's our Phillies at Sixers reporter. He did a takedown of John Middleton that is epic. And I cannot play it all. It was about 8 or 9 minutes. John can really get swept up. But Dan Donnelly has done a great job editing out some of the big moments in it. And to say that he made John Middleton look even worse than John himself looked in the Zoom conference, you got to hear this to believe it. That's coming up. And then at the top of the hour, we're going to be talking to Megan Montemuro. Mm-hmm. She is from TheAthletic.com, has covered baseball for over a decade. And I'm going to get her thoughts on John Middleton's unsuccessful attempt to embarrass her during that conference. Mm-hmm. Because what happened there, Al, requires an apology. It has not come yet. And, Billy, have you heard yet how that all played out?
No, I didn't hear that.
I'm going to hear you because you would
There's no defense of it.
You would know when an apology is required, and I want you to hear it in its entirety, and you make a judgment, all right? But a guy who covers all this stuff, Al, in Washington, no less.
Right.
He does great stuff. He does The Good Fight and Bleeding Green Nation. He writes for them. He also has a podcast, Hitting Season, is the great John Stolness. Hi, John.
Hey, Angela. Good morning, guys.
John, how did you think Middleton did with that Zoom conference yesterday when he reassigned, I'm sorry, Saturday, when he reassigned Matt Klentak?
It did not make one confident in the future direction of the franchise. He was contradictory. I know exactly the comment you're talking about with Megan, and I thought that was really off-putting. He was defensive. And I think my big takeaway from it is that I don't think they know what direction to go, and I don't think he knows who to listen to as far as which direction to go.
Well, no, he wants it two ways, John. Let me give you an illustration of what I'm talking about. He said during his news conference, right, that he has to rely on his baseball people, right? Mm-hmm. Oh, it's very important that for matters other than the epic ones, that he has to turn for them for evaluating purposes. Listen to what he said.
Because the baseball people thought they could get the extension. One of the problems, you know, I have, I think most owners have, is we're not baseball people.
Except when he wants to be, because a year ago he said this.
I'd like to think I actually bring value to an organization, that I'm not a potted plant sitting in the corner. This is what CEOs do. There is, you know, if you wouldn't have a need for a CEO if everybody in that organization made every decision correctly every time.
Based on what you heard, John, and he has spoken before without this kind of connotation and not knowing what he's doing. Do you have less confidence now than ever in his ability to be the owner of the Phillies?
I do, because I don't think he knows what he wants. You put those two statements together. He wants credit for the good decisions, and he wants to assess blame for the bad decisions or the decisions that didn't work out. And that's not good leadership. You know, that's not how that's supposed to go. And, you know, if you don't want to be a potted plant and you had serious concerns about trading Sixto Sanchez for JT Realmuto without a contract extension at the time, then you should have said, no, I don't want you guys to pull this off unless JT agrees to a contract extension. And, oh, by the way, who's the guy who's responsible for paying the players? It's John Middleton. So if Middleton really wanted JT Realmuto to sign a contract extension, then they could have signed him to a contract extension last year and not worried about any luxury tax implications for 2020 and anything else that may have kept them from agreeing to a contract extension right when the trade happened. There was a way that he could have not been a potted plant and gone ahead and gotten that done and said to the baseball ops people, hey, look, I like this player. It's a good trade. It maybe it sets us up for the future. Fine. Get the contract extension done. Do what you got to do. And it would have been done.
John, what's amazing about it is he created a whole new narrative now about signing JT. And now it's not his responsibility. It's the responsibility of politicians. Listen to this.
We kind of figured he's going to be heading to free agency. We figured that a long time ago. And that's, I see no change in that, Jim. Think he'll be filing for free agency. Can you tell me what the governor and the mayor of Philadelphia are going to allow us to have next year in the way of fans? Because if you do, you know something that I don't. I have no idea what we're going to be allowed. And obviously that's going to determine revenues, and revenues determines what you can do and what you can't do.
What do you think of that, John?
Well, here's the situation. This guy's worth, what, $3-point-some-odd billion?
Yes.
I mean, does he have to rely on the revenues of ticket sales in order to set his budget? I don't know how this team goes about deciding what their budget is going to be.
Right.
How much of his personal wealth he is either willing to, or they've agreed to allow him to put into the team, or how that all works out. But it sounds like that they have specific percentages in place for how much of their revenue they need to have from ticket sales and parking and concessions in order to put towards the payroll. And that's artificial. I don't think they need to do that. I mean, maybe they do. I don't know how their books work, but it doesn't sound like they need to do that. And he's putting an artificial cap. He's putting an artificial structure around what they need to pay players. And it in a way, sounds like he's blaming the fans for not being able to be there so that he doesn't have to pay JT Realmuto.
Meanwhile, the Dodgers have a historic contract for Mookie Betts in the middle of the pandemic. They didn't know how many fans would be allowed in. They said, this is a great player. We're paying him. That's all that is. The rest of it's all garbage. Here's the other one. John, I want you to know, I got her coming on in less than half an hour. Does the owner of the Phillies owe Megan Montemuro an apology? This is the shortened version of what was it, 60 seconds of cringe-worthy behavior by our owner. Listen.
What makes you feel comfortable having him involved in choosing, hiring, having a say in the next GM after the first one didn't necessarily turn out how expected?
So you do know that he's won two World Series titles.
The last one was 29 years ago, John. John, does he owe her an apology?
I think it was a very insensitive and I think it was not a kind way to respond to what was a very fair and very good question. I don't know. I mean, you'll talk to Megan in a few minutes. I'll let her decide whether or not an apology was in order. But I thought when I heard the answer to that question, I thought he came across as snotty. I thought it came across as condescending. And I thought it was not an appropriate response to a very fair, very reasonable question that was asked by a professional Phillies beat writer who has been covering the team for a number of years.
I would like to add one additional word, sexist, because that's my belief. Al's shaking his head.
I don't think you apologize.
Woman's voice. You don't apologize.
No, you're a reporter.
Does he make that comment to Jim Salisbury?
No, not a chance.
I don't know.
Bob Brookhoven, not a chance.
He did say to Salisbury, what do you know? I mean,
Salisbury knows more than he does.
Yeah.
That's the problem.
That's true.
He signed up for this job.
John, meanwhile, I got to get a couple of your thoughts on Birds, because I don't know if you heard, they won Sunday night.
What?
Yeah, I'm as surprised as you are, John. Does this change a lot? Does it change things? Obviously, we feel a little bit better, but how do you project this over the next few weeks?
Well, I think what's going to have to happen is that the defensive line is going to have to do what they did on Sunday night pretty much every week. That's where they've dumped so much of their resources. They're going to have to dominate the game the way they did the other night and keep offenses from getting in the end zone in order for the Eagles offense to have a chance. And if they can do that, then maybe they can beat the random good team here and there. And you know, hey, 7-8-1 may get you into the you into the playoffs this year, because this division is an absolute tire fire. So I mean, the defense, I think it's really going to come down to two things: the defensive line and the play of Carson Wentz. I'm not sold until they beat the Steelers. If they can find a way to beat the Steelers this Sunday, then maybe you have a reason to start to believe.
Who have the Steelers beaten? I mean, I hear that all the time. Everybody acts like the Steelers' opponents' records are 1-11. It's not like they're world beaters.
Sure, but they do have a very talented team.
They
think that they went 8-8 last year with some of the worst quarterback play in football. I think Mike Tomlin's an amazing head coach, and I think that's a team that clearly is more talented and frankly healthier than the Eagles. And they're also coming off an unexpected bye week last week, coming into this game too. So it is a really tall task for the Eagles. And if they can somehow pull this off, now maybe I'm starting to believe that there's a path to the postseason. But if they lose to the Steelers and fall to 1-3-1, even in a bad division, it's really, really, really hard to see them as a playoff team.
All right, last thing. You're in the political capital of Washington, D.C., John. Should Mayor Kenney allow fans into the link next week?
You know, I find it hard to see a way to do it that's 100% safe. It helps that they're outdoors. I mean, if you can mandate that the people in the park are wearing masks and there's enough separation, I guess it's okay. But you've got these people coming through the same entrances. You've got them using shared space. I don't know if I'm qualified enough to make that decision. I would not feel comfortable attending a sporting event right
now. Interesting comment. John Stolness says he would not go. John, love your work as always. Check him out on The Good Fight and Bleeding Green Nation. A great writer, and he has a great podcast, Hitting Season. Thank you, John.
Thanks, guys.
Billy, what did you think of that Middleton stuff? I mean, you had to do news conferences like that. What did you think?
I think he was frustrated that she asked. She was challenging his decision making.
But it was a good question.
It was a great question. And
right?
I think the way they answered, you say, look, I've sat down, we've talked, and I think collectively we will be able to make a good decision.
Yeah.
And I'm confident we can make a decision. You don't have to attack her for asking.
Yeah.
And it's a question that you should have expected when you made that decision. So you got to be prepared to answer it in the right way. So that to me was just a way that he was just upset that someone was challenging his decision-making.
But it was worthy of challenge, given the performance of Andy McPhail in the past 5 years. And referencing success 3 decades ago is ludicrous.
Yeah.
When we come back, you will hear a far more eloquent attack on John Middleton than you have heard on this show, Al. It is Al Morganti's best friend. He refers to him as Jan Janssen.
Jan Janssen, otherwise Darth Vader.
You got a picture. John's got his snack ready for the next segment, and he's working toward the snack with an attack on Middleton. That was, I'm telling you, it's one of the best things I ever heard on WIP Radio. That's next. Then Megan Montemuro. We got a great, great hour ahead. Don't you go anywhere. WIP Sports Time is 7:37.
T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network, from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with 3 lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.